You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Matt Alagaya. On this week's episode, we're taking a close look at business mentors. As anyone who's founded a company will know, the life of an entrepreneur can be a lonely one. In front of investors and staff, you have to exude confidence. Yet on the inside, you may well feel anything but certain. That's why many entrepreneurs find it helpful to have a mentor, a more experienced advisor who can lend them an ear and guide them through the toughest times. Yet it's also a two-way street. As an older entrepreneur, you can learn a lot from having a younger mentee too. On this week's episode, we'll sit down with the founders of two successful businesses and their mentors, and discover how that important relationship actually works. And we'll meet the owners of a food company who now act as mentors for former colleagues, who have flown the nest and launched their own ventures. First, though, let's hear from three entrepreneurs who have benefited from having a business mentor. Here's Amelia Singer, founder of wine business Amelia's Wines. After her, we hear from Aaron Gelbard, founder of flower delivery startup Bloom & Wild, and Karen Mabon, who runs her own scarf and sleepwear brand.
I have a range of different mentors. Definitely when I first went into the wine trade, it was so useful to connect actually to a family friend who worked in the wine trade, and he set up introductions with various people in the industry so that I could then understand what those different roles would entail. So that was very helpful. And he's also a very well-known and respected wine educator, which is essentially what I am, a wine educator and communicator. You know, whenever I need to get inspiration or if I need to do like a litmus test around him, like, do you think this is a solid idea? He's fantastic to bounce ideas off. As a female wine educator and communicator, Jancis Robinson, I've just always found so gracious and supportive, because not only did she, when I sent out this email saying, please, can I take you out for a drink? Not only did she kindly reply immediately and welcome me into her home and with a lovely glass of Riesling, I ran some ideas past her and I said, look, I don't think I can do this quite on my own, but what do you think about this company? What do you think about this company? And she was able to give me very honest feedback. And there's never any competition. There's never, like, I mean, she's so above anyone anyway, but she's just always just been so, I think, gracious and modest and supportive of the next generation in really understated ways. But like, she's, you know, she's very vocal about young people doing well and young females doing well and interesting innovations in the wine trade, where some people in the wine trade who might have her status might be a bit scared or a bit funny about new ideas and that kind of thing. But she's very forward thinking and very gracious.
When I started the business, I didn't really have a mentor. It was just my co-founder and I. Lots of people encouraged me to look for a mentor, and I guess I was maybe a little bit resistant to start with, but over time increasingly saw the value of it and started looking for a chairman to join our board and really help me navigate situations that I wasn't familiar with, manage my relationship with my investors, things like that. About 18 months ago, I met a chap called Gwyn Jones, who used to be the CEO of BBH, the advertising agency, and I've developed a really excellent relationship with him. I knew after about 5 minutes of meeting him that this was the right person to be our chairman, and we sort of hit it off instantly. And he's had a really helpful balance of being there to advise me when I need advice, there to gently guide me when he thinks I may be going the wrong direction, but not trying to do my job and manage me or tell me how to run the business. And that's a sort of skill set that I hadn't really appreciated until I met Gwyn, and I think I would have maybe reacted badly to somebody who was trying to manage me and tell me what to do, but he strikes that balance really well.
In the beginning, I had two really great mentors called Emily Sutton and Mark Harold, and they were both illustrators, and they were the only people I knew when I was at college who actually made money out of what they did. They had really good advice. Like, Mark used to say that luck doesn't visit the lazy, and he'd kind of give really good examples of how he'd got things or got commissions or worked with people. And yeah, and Emily was great as well. She was also like a children's book illustrator, and it was quite important to me having that dialogue with somebody about how to approach clients or how to approach money or asking for the right amount of money, because that can be a conversation that people don't really have very often. I still phone them up now sometimes to ask about questions, or if I've got a new project, like how much to charge for it, how long it should take me. And in terms of business, I have a mentor in the form of a friend called Tracy, who's a little bit older than me. She's got a company. She works in supply chain for products. So that's really helpful because things always go wrong with supply chain. And it's nice to have someone to phone up and ask about it.
That was Amelia Singer from Amelia's Wines, Aaron Gelbard from Bloom & Wild, and Karen Mabon, founder of the scarf and sleepwear brand Karen Mabon. Let's head over to Amsterdam now to meet Mark De Lange, the founder of hugely successful eyewear brand Ace & Tate, and his mentor Michiel Witteveen. Mark came up with the idea for the disruptive company in 2011, and with Michiel's help and guidance, has now taken it global. There are currently 31 stores across 8 countries worldwide, with more in the offing. We sent our colleague Jolien Goffin over to Amsterdam to meet the pair.
I've been known Michiel basically my whole life, since I was 3 or 4 years old, I guess. Friends of my parents, obviously there's a trust relationship there. Then I started working for him, and that went well. We could work well together. And then when I started Ace & Tate, I obviously looked for some people around me who could guide me through this process of starting a company, and who could also sometimes be the mirror and could tell me when things were not going well. I found that someone in Michiel.
So Michiel, at what stage did Mark come to you to ask for advice? Do you remember what the first time, what was it, informally, was it formally?
It's always informal because we know each other that long. And I think he came to me right from the beginning. To be honest, I was a bit skeptical because I thought, geez, you know, there are so many eyewear brands in Europe. At the end, I also invested money in this idea. And when it started growing, I kept on, you know, being a sort of a mentor to Mark and put up some more money. This ended up in a formal relationship being a non-executive board member. There's only one, that's me, that's very easy. So we have if we have a board meeting, it's Mark and myself, which we can do in the anywhere we want. We can do that in a bar, we can do it also here in the office.
Preferably a nice restaurant.
Preferably a nice restaurant on a Saturday during lunch on a sushi.
Is that where the best ideas come from?
I think a lot of good ideas come from there, but also I think in an informal setting, it's much easier to discuss the harder things when you're relaxed.
Then you're more relaxed. There's no office around you. You have all the time because it's a Saturday. We always have a small agenda, and we end up talking about much more than only the stuff in the agenda. Basically, we're not talking about the good things, but we normally talk about the difficult things. And that's where we both learn a lot from.
So can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Well, I'm 64, and I've been in the retail all my life, basically in the ladies' apparel business, which company I sold somewhere at the end of the 90s. And in the meantime, I've been a non-executive board member of several retail companies. At this moment, I'm the chairman of Scotch & Soda, you probably know, and I also am very much involved in the Blokker Group, which is a typical Dutch-Belgium group. Yeah, always been very involved in retail. And what I thought was very good to learn is that the Ace & Tate way of thinking is totally different new economy way of thinking. That's for the learning curve for me too. You know, that's a nice thing. We founded the old school and the new school getting pretty much good along because at the end of the day, the retail part of Ace & Tate is also very important, which is old school retailing. Combined with the new school online business, I think it's a very good combination.
So what particular things has Michiel helped you with giving advice to the business? Do you remember certain examples or successes?
Well, obviously, there are very concrete examples, location sourcing, how to open a store, how to run a store, stuff like that. But I think what has been the most valuable to me is, in a fast-growing company, you need to make decisions without complete information. And when you're starting out, or at least when I started out and still, sometimes can not be so sure of my case. And I think Michiel has taught me and continues to teach me to trust my gut, make a decision, and run with it. You'll never have complete information. And the only way to find out is to do it. Either refine, revise, or start again.
So why is it important for a young entrepreneur as yourself to have a mentor?
Well, for me personally, a lot has happened over the past 5 years. It's good to have a constant factor. And for me, it's very important to have someone who I can call with anything. and who has no vested interest to give me any other advice than what's good for the business. So that's really helped.
So Michiel, you're now on the board as well.
I'm not a shareholder anymore, because I think that's one very important thing to do. If you are a non-executive board member, you have to take decisions which is good for the business. And that doesn't mean always that it's good for the shareholder. I don't like to have two hats on. It's very good for the business, like I said. So when they asked me, the shareholders asked me to become a board member, I sold my shares.
And how have you become more increasingly involved in how the brand has grown?
This business is growing so rapidly with double digits per month that there's always something to discuss, and there's always something which goes wrong. We talk a lot to each other, together with the CFO. There's always something to learn, something to think about. Mark is a very talented person. The only thing I do is, give a mirror and show him that he has this talent and he has to do something with it. I'm not that he's the guy who has to do it and take the end decision. And the only thing I do is help him.
That was Mark De Lange, the founder of Ace & Tate, and his mentor Michiel Witteveen, speaking to our colleague Jolien Goffin in Amsterdam. We're in London next to hear from Tom Behan, who together with his brother Phil launched activewear brand Castor in 2016. The company has gone from strength to strength since then and has secured a couple of rounds of funding too to support its global expansion. I sat down with Tom and his long-term mentor Jonathan Heilbronn, the former CEO of premium shirt maker Thomas Pink, who met the Behan brothers and instantly spotted their potential. You may well recognise Tom's dulcet Liverpudlian tones. He came on the show not long after the company was founded in 2016.
I think, in all honesty, it is difficult to overstate the level of impact, both from a personal perspective, and starting a business is a very personal thing. You go through different challenges in your own life, and having someone who has been there, seen it, done it, dealt with almost any problem that you will be facing, and come out the other end. So someone just to give those words of reassurance, you can't overstate the value of that. And then more specifically, as we've started to grapple with, I guess, questions that a growth business rather than a pure startup has to deal with in terms of pricing architecture. Do we go and try and expand in Asia or the US or both? Do we go and try and launch a golf collection, a tennis collection, or both? And having someone, again, who's got experience with far bigger, more mature businesses, you can't learn that as an entrepreneur. So actually having someone that gives that bird's eye view is just invaluable.
I mean, if we're going to be very kind of coarse about this, would you think that Jonathan most of the time was slowing you down and saying, look, have a bit more patience and say, actually, we can do that next year. Let's focus on this year. Or was it a bit more saying, up the ambition, guys, you can do this. You can go into Asia this year.
A combination is the honest answer. Certainly certain areas, I'm sure Jonathan will say that he thinks we're going off on a tangent and we're letting our youthful enthusiasm run away with us. However, again, not putting any words in Jonathan's mouth, I equally think he would say that having that characteristic and those attributes are what makes certain brands special. So it's almost finding that balance of when to push forward, when you realise something is the right thing for you to do. Go and be bold and aggressive. Do not try and be all things to all people, and having someone really get you to focus on what are those key important things is something that's very difficult to do sometimes on your own, and Jonathan has been incredibly helpful on that side.
Yeah, focus is key for any business, however big you are, and probably increasing as the smaller you are, because there are so many ideas. Back to this bit, if you're going to succeed, you've got to be focused, you've got to be stubborn, you've got to be dogged, but pick the fights that you've got most chance to win, I think. So rather than spread yourself too thin, focus. But equally, if you don't have the ambition and if you're not trying to do lots of things, well, two things happen. One, you might keep it smaller than the potential at the beginning to grow it. And two, you might not make some of the mistakes that actually are going to be invaluable in your learning and your development. I mean, I think Tom's touched on it. Having someone who's sort of been there is great in that you know, hopefully I can lend some experience and some of the things that I've learned in my career that worked or didn't work. But it's not always going to be the same for every business. So to some extent, everyone has to find their own way of doing things, and actually making mistakes is often a very good way of learning, as long as the mistake isn't critical. That's how I sort of look at it. Look, you know, the guys are going to do what they're going to do. You know, if there's something that I really think is going to be awful, of course I'll say it. If there's something that you know what, I'm not so sure, and actually if they really want to have a go, well, maybe go have a go.
Coming back to being a mentor, being that, you know, the person who's got a bit more experience, do you find that you can also learn quite a lot from having a mentee? Because
absolutely,
particularly something like, you know, apparel and, yep, and retail, they're so fast changing at the moment. Yep. You know, that's a sector that's changing all the time.
Yep.
Have you found that you've actually learned a lot about, you know, what a startup has to do today?
Very much. And you know, I've got a few other businesses I'm involved in as well at sort of early stage. And yeah, I am learning tons. It's fantastic. And the beauty of that is that you can transport it across businesses as well. So yeah, whether it's digital marketing, whether it's manufacture of a sporting material that, you know, I haven't really been involved in before, whether it's more wholesaling through online accounts, absolutely, I'm learning all the time. I think all of the learnings, you know, they have process to them and they have their structure to them. So I think that's the bit I'm finding I can pick up pretty quickly the issues and actually get to the nub of, well, if you're doing that, great. How do you manage it? How do you operate it? But yeah, learning all the time, which is huge fun.
Let's just, I guess, create an alternate reality. So you'd never spoken to Jonathan. You didn't have that first meeting and it didn't go on to be a very fruitful relationship. Where do you think Castor would be today? I mean, can we really say that it would be a different company today, do you think?
I think the honest answer is, and again, we've already alluded to it here, is that Phil and I were so passionate and so focused on making a success of this that I think we probably would have come across somebody else that maybe we would have built a relationship with. However, would it have worked as well? Which very much leads to your previous question, Matt. Unless there's that chemistry, it's probably going to be a short-term relationship. And we've gotten to know people who might have a very specific area of expertise or will have a relationship with a particular stockist whom you want to work with. And you get on well and they help introduce you to those guys. And then the relationship naturally fizzles. So I don't think it's probably true to say, oh, we wouldn't be the same business. Would we have got here as quickly? That would be a fair question. And would we have certainly wasted money in areas that would have been very avoidable without having the sort of the steady head to say, hang on, Tom, have you really thought about this? That's a very fair point as well. So I think the question kind of goes the other way in that, as Jonathan said, it's very valuable for him to have a number of businesses at similar stages in slightly different sectors that he can learn from. Equally, we've got a great board of directors, all of whom have very different experience. Tom Singh, who founded New Look, very much in traditional bricks and mortar retail. Arno Massenet, who was involved with the Net-a-Porter, Mr. Porter group from day one, clearly far more focused on the digital online side. Robert Senior, who is CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi, very much creative. How do you engage with customers? And for us, it is absorbing all of that knowledge. Some of it will be very relevant to us at this stage. In many ways, the hardest thing as an entrepreneur is having the self-confidence to say, okay, I recognise that you're 30 years more experienced than me and have achieved a lot more than me, but I believe that the advice you're giving me is not quite right and I'm going to stick to my own course of action. And that can be quite a daunting thing to take on. But if you do really believe in what you're doing, actually you take on the best of everything and clearly add your own focus into it as well.
That was Tom Behan, co-founder of Castor, and his mentor, Jonathan Heilbrunn. Finally, on today's show, we hear from two friends who teamed up to launch their own popcorn brand. Cassandra Stavrou and Ryan Cohn founded healthy snack company Propercorn in 2011, and today they sell 3.5 million bags of popcorn per month across 7 countries and have a team of around 40 people. But they haven't just kept their success to themselves. The co-founders have mentored previous Propercorn employees who have gone on to launch their own ventures and have set up a mentoring platform to help young, aspiring entrepreneurs.
One of the best bits about starting a business is you can take this idea and make it a tangible thing and shape the culture and the way that you want it to operate and behave and the values you want it to have in line with your own kind of passions and beliefs. And so Ryan and I, you know, we're really lucky in that we've got a very shared kind of vision on that front. And so it's always been about being as personal as possible and caring about people around us and making sure that we do business in the right way. And part of that is giving back. And, you know, when we first launched, we were really lucky enough to benefit from some amazing advice and mentors. And I guess people are really generous with their time, and people, you know, really want to back people that are trying. And we just think that it's absolutely part of our journey to do the same back. You know, it's also really wonderful for the team. You know, I think that one of the things we're most proud of is the team and the culture that we've created. And it's brilliant for them to also have an opportunity to kind of be able to give back and share their learning. And it's always just been a part of the way that we've kind of gone about it.
Ryan, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, I mean, if you push people to be too entrepreneurial, then you probably lose your best people, right? Your team, your talented team, and then you say, go on, go off and do your own thing. Is there a bit of a conflict there? I mean, obviously, yeah. You want people to be happy, but you don't want them to all leave and go off and set up their own businesses.
It's an amazing dissection there, because I think you have hit the nail on the head. We have, as Cass said, yeah, we've always encouraged this kind of entrepreneurial spirit and think outside the box, take your inspiration from not just our category, but much wider than that, the world. It could be anything. And inevitably, that does mean that, you know, the bright, brilliant people you bring in, you give them so much confidence and they want to kind of fly the nest and do their own thing. But I think maybe the saving grace for that is that as a business, you know, when you're starting out and there's two of you or five of you and then you get to 10 of you, what you need as a business in those early years is very different also to what we need now. And I would still say, you know, we still count ourselves as a small business, but certainly, you know, we're going through adolescence and we're growing up. Right. And so while it is always sad to see, you know, these amazing stars kind of, you know, fly the nest and go on and do great things themselves, actually in some ways kind of works out probably for the best in some ways for both parties. Don't get me wrong, if they were still here, they would still be flying, they'd still be doing an amazing job. But it forces us to then think about, right, what can we do? Or how can we fill that void with something even better than what was there? And that's in no way disrespectful towards them. It's more of the challenge to us is we don't want to leave a gap in our business that can't be filled. We need to think about what can we do to fill it in the best possible way.
Right. And just give us a few concrete examples, if you would, of someone who's left the business and gone on to set up their own thing and who you've kind of mentored through that process.
So I'll mention Alex, who's our first employee, the one we mentioned before. He literally came straight out of university, bright-eyed, not a hair on his face, lovely guy with a brilliant energy and a brilliant passion. And he spent time in a number of different areas of our business, eventually kind of settled into marketing, and he really kind of helped kind of drive that part of the business and the brand. He was considered one of the senior members of the team, sat in our board meetings, and then went on to set up All Plants, which is with his older brother, which is a frozen vegan delivery business. And they're doing fantastic work. I actually invested into their business, not a huge amount of money, but what I could at the time. And I'm pleased to say, I think it's been a really shrewd investment. but they basically got a mission to bring really great tasting vegan food to the masses. Yeah, they're doing amazing work, and I have, you know, I have regular conversations with both Alex and his brother JP, as does Cassandra, and we're always kind of doing as much as we can to kind of help them, whether that's open doors with contacts or just share advice in terms of, you know, some of our learnings that could be about raising money or the brand aesthetics or really absolutely anything that they need help with. And I think we both get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
I mean, one thing that kind of leads me on to is, because I know you also set up a mentoring platform for 16 to 25-year-olds as well. Mm. Can you just talk us through how that works and why you did that?
Yeah, so platform was something that we set up in 2015 where it was a nationwide competition. People needed to submit a business, a very kind of crude business plan. They were invited for an initial kind of pitch, and then there were 12 finalists that then got a two-day workshop where they really got to sort of rotate around our entire business from, you know, finance to ops to sales to, you know, creative input, help kind of curate their business plan and refine maybe their proposition. And then there was a sort of final pitch in front of, you know, some industry experts. Richard Reed, one of the Innocent founders, who was one of our kind of initial mentors, was one of them as an example. And then the winner got some finance and a commitment for kind of further mentorship and support from Propercorn. And that was our kind of first, I guess, more formal bit of activity like that. And then that's just continued. So last year we did this initiative called Pop-In, which again was, you know, a similar sort of proposition. But this time we wanted to extend the workshop over a week period, so that I just think it's really lonely, that kind of kitchen table entrepreneur journey. And it's really wonderful to be in an office environment, which is why the kind of, you know, the WeWorks and whatever right. are doing so phenomenally well. But, you know, how can we allow them to plug into our infrastructure a little bit and really benefit from that community and advice? And so that was Pop-In. We're going to run it again this year. It's always great fun for us and the team. And as you said before, you know, we learn loads too.
Absolutely. And Ryan, do you think that's something that you'll, again, expand a bit as you look to the future?
You know, what's so wonderful about starting a business is you get to really impart some of your own personality into it. And I think for both of us, it was incredibly important that we also had opportunities within our business to give back. And we saw the platform as an opportunity to do that. And I think initially, again, is when you're a startup, you don't necessarily have like really strong kind of structures and I guess kind of like, you know, formats for doing things. And so it was quite like ad hoc. But now we are building much more structure into our business, and in a good way, in the sense that now we have like an objective within the business that the whole team gets bonused on, which is all about sustainability and giving back and what we can do in our community. And so part of that is that now we have regular things like Pop-In initiative, and actually we'll be doing a lot more activity than just things like the platform that you mentioned. And it's, and obviously the mentoring thing, I think in general, Cassandra and I, we dedicate, you know, a morning every month to mentoring anyway. And that's just kind of random people who get in touch with us and say, hey, can we take you for a coffee? And, you know, I think we see that as our kind of like, I don't know, mentoring karma. We were lucky enough to get some brilliant advice from people, as Cass mentioned, and we want to do the same for other people, hopefully. And we hope that if they become successful, they too in turn pass on that, you know, pass on their knowledge and their experience to other entrepreneurs. So hopefully we've started this lovely kind of karma cycle. But actually, as I say, through the business, we do have a structure now that allows us to actually build it into the DNA. And it's something that we definitely want to do more and more of.
That was Cassandra Stavrou and Ryan Cohn, founders of healthy snack brand Propercorn. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for on today's show. To read more about business mentors, pick up a copy of the September issue of Monocle magazine, which is on newsstands now and includes a guide to building better businesses and finding yourself a great mentor. This show was produced by Daniel Bache and mixed and edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.